Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Off, the ninth parak of Orba Rote. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three tabs are going to focus on: number one, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yedzan Mebeis taught that if a Jew shechs a non-kosher animal for an idolater, Mefarkeses, and it's still convulsing, it's already considered food and is susceptible to Tumas Ochlim, but is not a Nevela until it actually dies. The same applies when a Gentile shechs a kosher animal. Biasi says that some Tanaim teach that for these animals to become susceptible to Tuma, Srikim Achshava, they require intent for an idolater to eat them while they're still alive, the Hekshem Mayim Makamacher, and preparation by water from another source. In contrast, the blood of a valid Shechita affects Heksher, since the animal is considered killed with the Shechita. The Gemara objects that Heksher should not be required. It will become an avail when it dies, which is Matami with Tuma Chamura, a severe Tuma, meaning its Matami, people on Kalim, only requires a Kazais, and is Matami through Masa, caring. But Kosha Sof Latami Tuma Chamura, Laboy Heksher, and anything which is destined to be Matame with severe Tuma doesn't require Heksher. Chizki answers that since he can theoretically scrape the meat into pieces smaller than a kazais before the animal dies, it's not definitively destined to be matami with tumah chamura, and therefore requires heksher. Point number two, the Gemara states that if a Jew shechted two simanim, or most of them, of a non-kosher animal for an idolater, and it's still convulsing, Chizkiah says, ein le'ivarim, it's no longer subject to the prohibition against eating evar min ha'chai since it was shechted. Rav Yochanan, however, says it is subject to Eivar Min HaChai, since Shechita does not permit the non-kosher animal for consumption. A Braisa supports Rav Yochanan's opinion and adds that an Eivar which separates from the convulsing animal remains prohibited to B'nai Noach even after the animal dies. Earlier, Rabbi Zera said that although Chizkiah considers the animal shechted with regard to Eivar Min HaChai, he concedes it's not yet tummy as a nevela and explains, the convulsing animal has left the category of the living, but has not yet entered the category of the dead. And pointing with you, Rabbi Zera asks Rav Sheshes about a non-kosher animal shechted by a Jew which is still convulsing. What is the halach regarding whether the animal saves swallowed objects within it from becoming tameh? Tahor items swallowed by a live animal remain tahor if the animal enters the ohel of a dead body, whereas items inside a shechted kosher animal, which is considered meat even while convulsing, do become tameh. Rav Sheshes replied, "Matamet tumas ochlin matzelas, it transmits food tuma, yet it should save swallowed items from tuma? Since it's considered food, it is not considered a living animal." Rav Zera counted that since it's not yet tameh as a nevela, indicating it is not considered dead, why should it not protect swallowed items from tuma? Abai concludes that it doesn't prevent swallowed items from becoming tummy since it transmits tumas ochlin. Rashi says this is a chumrah. However, someone who has relations with this animal is chayv since it's not tummy as a nevela and is considered a live animal. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayinam Beis taught that if a Jew shechs a non-kosher animal for an idolater, mefarkeses, and it's still convulsing, it's already considered food and is susceptible to tumas ochlin, but is not a nevela until it actually dies. The same applies when a Gentile shechs a kosher animal. Biasi says that some Tanaim teach that for these animals to become susceptible to Tuma, Srikim Achshava, they require intent for an idolater to eat them while they're still alive, the Hekshem Mayim Makamacher, and preparation by water from another source. In contrast, the blood of a valid Shechita affects Heksher, since the animal is considered killed with the Shechita. The Gemara objects that Heksher should not be required. It will become an avail when it dies, which is matami with tumah chamura, a severe tumah, meaning its matami, people on kelim, only requires a kazais, and is matami through masa, caring. But kosher sof latami tumah chamura, laboy heksher, and anything which is destined to be matame with severe tumah doesn't require heksher. Chizki answers that since he can theoretically scrape the meat into pieces smaller than a kazais before the animal dies, it's not definitively destined to be matami with tumah chamura, and therefore requires heksher. Point number two, the Gemara states that if a Jew shechted two simanim, or most of them, of a non-kosher animal for an idolater, and it's still convulsing, Chizkiah says, ein le'ivarim, it's no longer subject to the prohibition against eating evar min ha'chai since it was shechted. Rav Yochanan, however, says it is subject to Eivar Min HaChai, since Shechita does not permit the non-kosher animal for consumption. A Braisa supports Rav Yochanan's opinion and adds that an Eivar which separates from the convulsing animal remains prohibited to B'nai Noach even after the animal dies. Earlier, Rabbi Zera said that although Chizkiah considers the animal shechted with regard to Eivar Min HaChai, he concedes it's not yet tummy as a nevela and explains, The convulsing animal has left the category of the living, but has not yet entered the category of the dead. And point number three, Rabbi Zera asked Rav Sheshes is about a non-kosher animal shechted by a Jew which is still convulsing. What is the halacha regarding whether the animal saves swallowed objects within it from becoming tameh? Tahor items swallowed by a live animal remain tahor if the animal enters the ohel of a dead body, whereas items inside a shechted kosher animal, which is considered meat even while convulsing, do become tameh. Rav Sheshes replied, "Matamet tumas ochlin matzelas, it transmits food tuma, yet it should save swallowed items from tuma? Since it's considered food, it is not considered a living animal." Rav Zera counted that since it's not yet tame as a nevela, indicating it is not considered dead, why should it not protect swallowed items from tuma? Abai concludes that it doesn't prevent swallowed items from becoming tame since it transmits tumas ochlin. Rashi says this is a chumrah. However, someone who has relations with this animal is chayv, since it's not tummy as a nevela, and it's considered a live animal. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, and this siman was suggested to us by a number of people, by Leo Raps from Yerushalayim, by Shimon Ziegler from South Fallsburg, New York, by Jeremy Scheinwitz from Woodmere, New York, as well as by Danny Wolf from Denver. They all suggested that Kuf Chaf Aleph is a cocoa bean farmer. A cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. The cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ochlin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver min achai, even after shechita. While another worker wondered if the chocolate bars the animal swallowed would be considered tuma balua. Once again, slow motion. The cocoa bean farmer, that must mean we're on Duff. Kuf Chaf Aleph, cocoa. The cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ochlin, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis taught that if a Jew shechs a non-kosher animal for an idolater, umefarkasas, and is still convulsing, it's already considered food and is susceptible to tumas ochlin, but is not a nevela until it actually dies. The same applies when a Gentile shechs a kosher animal. Rabbi Yossi says that sometimes teach that for these animals to become susceptible to tuma, tzrichim achshava, they require intent for an idolater to eat them while they're still alive, the hekshar mayim memakom acher, and preparation by water from another source. So the cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ochlin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver min achai, even after shechita, which reminds us, the Gemara states that if a Jew shechted two simanim, or most of them, of a non-kosher animal for an idolater and is still convulsing, Chizkiah says, ein ala evarim, it's no longer subject to the prohibition against evar min achai since it was shechted. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says it is subject to evar min achai since shechita does not permit the non-kosher animal for consumption. So the cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ochlin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver min achai, even after shechita, while another worker wondered if the chocolate bars the animal swallowed would be considered tuma balua, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera asked Rav Sheshes about a non-kosher animal shechted by a Jew which is still convulsing. What's the halacha regarding whether the animal saves swallowed objects within it from becoming tame? Tahor items swallowed by a live animal remain tahor if the animal enters the ohel of a dead body, whereas items inside a shechted kosher animal, which is considered meat even while convulsing, do become tame. So once again, the cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ochlin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver min achai, even after shechita, while another worker wondered if the chocolate bars the animal swallowed would be considered tuma balua. All right, so now it's time for a four-blot back chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a set of keys. So here goes. After the gabbai in the Mikdash uses keys, gabbai using his keys? That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. After the gabbai in the Mikdash uses keys to lock up chelov to prevent me'ila, something that would not be necessary for dam, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, chomer bechelov mebedam. There is a chomer in chelov over blood, but chomer bedam bechelov, and there's a chomer in blood over chelov. The chumras of chelov are that mo'olimbo, there's me'ila for benefiting from it, and one is chayev to bring an additional chattis for eating it when it is pigo or noser, or when he's tameh, which is not true for blood of karbanas. The chumra of blood is that it applies to behemoths, chayes, and ofos, but only chelov of behemoths is forbidden. So after the Gabbai in the Mikdash uses keys to lock up Chelev to prevent Me'ilah, something that would not be necessary for Dam, and to lock up a display case holding clothing of the Kohen Gadol, one of the two things that stay usher even after having been used for its purpose, which reminds the Gemara teaches the Klal, Eino Chadavar Shenas Mitzvaso Umolim Bo. You never have something whose mitzvah was already performed and it is still subject to Me'ilah. Since its purpose was achieved, it is no longer Kaji Hashem. The exceptions to this rule, the Tumas Hadeshen and the Bigdei Kohuna, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur are two psukim coming together to teach one halacha, which do not teach their halacha elsewhere. So after the Gabbai in the Mikdash uses keys to lock up Chelev to prevent Me'ilah, something that would not be necessary for Dam, and to lock up a display case holding clothing of the Kohen Gadol, one of the two things that stay usher even after having been used for its purpose, he put them on a scale to weigh a piece of meat with its skin to see if it has a kabeya and would convey tumah to other foods, which reminds us, the ninth parak begins, Ha'or b'harotev, skin, congealed gravy from cooked meat, spice sediment, meat shavings attached to the skin, bones with edible marrow, gidin, horns near their roots, and hooves, mitstarfim l'tamei tumas holchin, all combined with meat to convey tumah of foods, of alo tumas nevelos, but not tumah of nevelos. These items are not food themselves, but combined with food. To complete the minimum shear of a kabea, some because they are a shomer, a protector of food such as ore, and some because they are eaten together with meat. Daf Kuf Yud Ches, so the simmer Daf Kuf Yud Ches is kichel. So here goes. The man who wanted to eat his herring with kichel, kichel, that must be around Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The man who wanted to eat his herring with kichel betahara, who was disappointed when the bone sticking out of a piece of herring on a kichel not only served as a yad to make the herring tameh, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches the principle of yados, handles, meaning items which serve as handles for food regarding tumah. Koshu yad below shomer, anything attached to food which is a yad and not a shomer, such as a bone without marrow with meat at its end, tameh umatameh ve'enu mitzdarf, contracts tumah to the food and transmits tumah from the food, but doesn't combine with the food to comprise the minimum shear for tumah. So the man who wanted to eat his herring with kichel betahara, who was disappointed when the bone sticking out of a piece of herring on a kichel not only served as a yad to make the herring tamei, but was even the cause of heksher when oil spilled on the bone and not the fish, which reminds us, Rav said, yesh yad l'tuma ve'ein yad l'heksher. There is a halacha of yad regarding tuma, but there's no halacha of yad regarding preparation of food for tuma through moisture. Thus, if water touches the stem of a fruit, the fruit doesn't become susceptible to tuma. Yochanan says that yad is effective even for heksher. This malchokas may hinge on a drasha. So, the man who wanted to eat his herring with kichel betahara, who was disappointed when the bone sticking out of a piece of herring on a kichel not only served as a yad to make the herring tameh, but was even the cause of heksher when oil spilled on the bone and not the fish, was relieved to hear that since the herring was less than a kazayas, the bone can't be a yad. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a malchokas if there's a minimum shear for a yad or shomer. Daf Kuf Yud Tes, so the simmer Daf Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. The boy who used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite. Kite? That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Tes. The boy who used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite, thinking they would be taur because they're so small, but didn't realize a bria is different, which reminds us, we learned that a bria of any size qualifies as a yud. So the boy used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite, thinking they would be taur because they're so small, but didn't realize a bria is different, was interrupted while cutting his orange in two, and wondering if each half's peel can combine with the other as a shomer, which reminds us, Rav Hashaya asked, what's the halacha regarding two shomerim combining with the foods they protect to comprise the minimum shear for tumah? His question was about the shomer of a food which one divide into two. So each shomer only protects part of the food, and both shomerim together with the food amount to a kabeah. Do we say since this part of the shomer does not protect this part of the food, and the other part of the shomer does not protect the other part of the food, the shomerim do not combine for tumah? Or do we say since this shomer segment protects its food segment, and that shomer segment protects that food segment, they do combine with food for the minimum shear for tumah? The proofs proposed to resolve this question are deflected. So the boy used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite, thinking they would be taur because they're so small, but didn't realize a bria is different, was interrupted while cutting his orange in two and wondering if each half's peel can combine with the other as a shomer by his friend who was trying to use a bunch of hairs as a yad to fly a meat-themed kite, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Malchok, because of a nima, a strand of hair, qualifies as a yad. Daf Kuf Chaf, so the similar Daf Kuf Chaf is a cook. So here goes. The cook, cook, that must be on Daf Kuf Chaf. The cook who was measuring congealed liquid from meat to see if combined with the meat it would reach a shear of becoming tamei, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis taught that rotev, gravy, combines with meat to transmit food tumah. Rava identifies rotev as shumna, fat, but Abai objects that since fat is fully edible, it should be matamei on its own without combining with meat. Abaya therefore defines rotev as chayov de karish, congealed liquid which exudes from the meat, which is not eaten on its own, but is eaten with the meat. So the cook who was measuring congealed liquid from meat to see if combined with the meat it would reach a shear of becoming tamei makes pots of liquefied chametz, which one is chayv for eating on Pesach, and liquefied matzah, which cannot be used for the Seder. Which reminds us, a braisa teaches that one is chayv for consuming liquefied chametz on Pesach, whereas one who consumes liquefied matzah is not yotzi the mitzvah, because liquefied matzah doesn't qualify as lechem oni. Liability for consuming liquefied chametz, despite its prohibition being expressed as achila, is likewise derived from the word nefesh written there, which connotes satisfaction or desire, to include achila for drinking. So the cook who was measuring congealed liquid from meat to see if combined with the meat it would reach a shear of becoming tamei makes pots of liquefied chametz, which one is chai for eating on Pesach, and liquefied matzah, which cannot be used for the Seder. When his boss yelled at him for not labeling his bottles properly, which caused him to drink truma vinegar and pay Karen Vachomish, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that if a non-kohen accidentally consumes truma of date honey, apple cider, or vinegar of winter grapes, Eliezer requires him to pay Karen Vachomish, the principal plus of it, like any czar who mistakenly eats truma, because he considers the juices of truma like fruit. Rabbi Yeshua exempts him from paying Karen Vachomish for consuming these liquids. Rabbi Eliezer holds Don Mina Umina, derive the law from the source and derive the parameters from it. Just as with Bikurim, Mashkini Yotzma and Kamosan, the liquids which issue from them are like them, the same applies to Truma. Rabbi Yeshua holds Don Mina Ba'okiba Asra, derive the law from it, but establishes parameters according to its own place. Since only wine and oil can be initially designated as Truma as liquids, only those liquids have the full status of Truma. All right, so now it's time to cuckoo with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you discuss a non-kosher animal shechted by a Jew and a kosher animal shechted by a Gentile requiring heksher? That's on daf. Kuf chafal. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn the chumras of chalev over dam and the chumra of dam over chalev? That's on daf. Kuf yed zayin. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss what the halacha is of combining two shomrim together? That's on daf. Kufya tests. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a malchokas if there's a minimum shear for a yud and shomer? That's on daf. Kufya ches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have a malchokas regarding Aver Min HaChai in a non-kosher animal which was shechted and is mefarkeses, is convulsing? That's on daf. Kuf chaf aleph. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss congealed liquid which exudes from the meat which combines with the meat for the shear to transmit tumah? That's on daf. Kufchav. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss the status of a mefarkesis, an animal convulsing after shechita, regarding tuma blua, tuma that was swallowed by it? That's on daf. Kufchav alav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we know one is chai for consuming liquefied chametz on Pesach, whereas one who consumes liquefied matzah is not yotzi the mitzvah? That's on daf. Kufchav. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you discuss the keva, the rennet from kosher milk, inside a nevela or trefa? That's on daf. Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we have in Malchus regarding the one who drinks the fruit juices of truma with these chayv keren v'chomish? That's on daf. Kufchav. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.